A63. Number 21A.
Today we take the other assignment, namely point 6, where we have some exercises on text interpretation. And the assignment was to find the tonality of the text and see if we can find a layout of a text. These questions and answers in the chapter recapitulation actually lend themselves very easy for a beginner or the beginning stage, because they are short, these articles, therefore one can have a good overall view in a short time. It's not so difficult than if you have a chapter that is 40 or 60 or 80 pages long. That is quite a different proposition. So these exercises should be rather easy. We take the first one on page 472. The question, is there no sin? And I have asked you to work on it individually, not in a group work, so that you can check your own consciousness and see if you have caught the tonality of the synonyms and therefore can see the layout. Now, have you find some kind of a ordered presentation? And if so, will you speak out and tell us the page and line from where to where a tone goes, and say only with the synonymous term, not in any other epitome, what it means? I guess that not everybody may agree then, and so we can take various layouts and then afterwards consider the text together. Well, who has found a layout on this question? All right, Emma?
Page 472, starting at line 23. I have mine going to line 26. Spirit, page 472, 24. 473, line 3. Soul, 473, line 4 to 17. Page 473, 18 to 474, 15, principal. Life, 474, 16 to 23. Truth, 474, 24 to 475, 2. Love, 475, 2 to 4.
That's it. Who has another layout? Yes, Bill?
472, 24 to 473, 3. Spirit, 473, 4 to 6, going up.
4 to 6?
4 to 6. 473, soul, 473, 7 to 17. Principle, 473, 18 to 3. Life, 474, 4 to 15. Truth, 474, 16 to 475, 2. Love, 476, 2 to 4.
No.
Sorry, 475.
Line? 475, line?
Which were you asking for?
The last one, which you got wrong.
75, 2 to 4.
Okay. Well. All right. somebody else? Or does somebody agree with Bill's?
A lot of mine agree with Bill's, but not all.
Not all? Yeah. Somebody else who wants to give a layout? That's not very much. Out of 50 students, two is not a good proportion. Yes?
So we have something to argue about.
Good.
I'll get another one.
Yeah?
Mine, yes, starts with line 24 to 3. And then spirit, line 4 to 10. And then soul, 10 to 17. Principle
starts 18 to 15, and then life 16 to 23, truth 24 to the next age, and love 2 to 5. Yes, so we have a third one. Yes. Yes.
I differed with James on only one sentence. I started love 474.32. That was the only difference I had between her and
him. Yes. Mm-hmm. Or else you had the same as Jane. Yes. Mm-hmm. Who has a different one? Yes, Cecil.
My mind goes 472, 24.
4.73.3, 4.74.23, 4.74.24, 4.75.2, and love 4.75.2 to 4.75.
Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh. So that's another one, huh? Yes. Do you have one, friend? Oh, yes, you told. Yeah, like Jan, yes? Or like Jean. Yeah? Somebody else who is very sure about it? Yeah?
I'm afraid I'm going to be really precipitated. But when I saw this and I just looked at the first sentence, it seemed to, on the first two, it seemed to me that it was set out in the order of science as Christ on a Christian science level, but started with soul and life. First, depicting principle, and then going on into soul and life, and following that order.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
What did I see? No?
I don't know.
That popped right out for me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because she starts off with all is in all reality, the whole thing, all reality and its creation is harmonious and eternal.
Yeah, so that would be what tone?
Well, it would be mine, but I saw principles stand out there. But I think she was setting the tone.
Hmm. Well, if you take one sentence right at the beginning of a paragraph, you know that we have rules of text interpretation which says that you can't rely on a single sentence, that you first have to see at least the whole paragraph, huh? Or you can be mistaken, because in a paragraph you have all sorts of things. You have perhaps a reminder of what has gone before, perhaps it is the preparing of the ground for what one has to say at the end of the paragraph, and that's the main thing. So this method is anyway not correct. Huh? misleads at once just through one sentence. We have to hear the tonality, the subject of a paragraph at least, if not the subject of the whole article, yes? So that would anyway not be a good method of interpretation. Yes, has anybody another layout? Yeah? All right. So at least we know that these four don't agree, that they differ. Mostly they agree with the end, but only mostly. And therefore I think the only thing is that we go together on the text, and therefore try to see what the text says. It is interesting to see that especially the tone of soul has been mostly, not with everyone, mostly seen wrongly. And I think that's the point why, and that the reason for it, as I see it, is that you are not thinking along subjects, but much more along words that appear. And therefore then principal life has been mixed up quite a bit. Yeah. So let's take this as a exercise in text interpretation. And we read together the text, and as we go along we use it as showing how to tackle such a subject. The question is there no sin? By the way, have you seen? Does Mrs. Eddy answer that question, actually, in her answer? Does she speak a lot about the term sin? No, huh? You see, this alone is already an indication that we have to be careful with the terminology, that words are not really a good criteria in order to find a text interpretation. Here is an article on Is There No Sin? And with one exception, there's just one reference on sin. She never really uses that term sin singly. She uses it a few times together with sin, sickness and death, but that she does naturally throughout the whole textbook. And therefore one has to be careful to see that we are catching the tone of sin and not so much the term sin. If we would read that article and just ask, now, where does she use the term sin and what does she say about the term sin, that whole article would give no information at all, because she doesn't use that term. I think this alone is of great importance, because one sees that therefore it is the language of spirit and not the American language that determines really the line of reasoning and therefore the answering of the question, what is sin? Yes, so we have that question, what is sin, and we think, well, what will she have to tell us? She will have to tell us if there is sin or if there is no sin. See, this is already the first thing you have in your mind. If you have a question, is there no sin? You would expect an answer in the shortest way, yes or no. That would be the answer. So we are expecting the answer, yes or no. And so she begins this answer by really bringing the thought of the reader first up to the point where she can somehow give an answer if sin exists or not. Namely, and we read together, we start out, all reality is in God. You may be perplexed that she starts out with reality and does not start out with sin. She starts out with reality because, why? Because the answer is it or is it not? Therefore it's an answer. Is it real? Is it not real? Is it something? Is it not something? See? And therefore she has first to prepare the ground and say, well, if it is a reality, you see, if it is, if the answer is yes, it is, then she must show that it is of God. If the answer is no, there is no sin, then she must prove it by the answer, doesn't it exist in God? Didn't God create it? So, actually, one is quite familiar to see that she would start out with the question, yes or no, by saying, I have first to explain you what reality is and what reality is not. So she says, all reality is in God and his creation. Can you see that she starts out very basic? Instead of just bluntly throw at the reader a yes or no, she begins to reason with the reader and says, I first start out to reason with you. If I give you a blunt answer, yes or no, I would anyway have to explain why it is yes or why it is no. So I better start out with the basic question, is it something that God has created or is it something that God has not created? You see? So she has to go first right back to the question of cause or creator or maker. So she sets the tone, all reality is in God and his creation, harmonious and eternal. She really gives a good sense that sin, which we know is not something very harmonious, that her basis is God and his idea. That's her basis. That all that is made is always made by God and his idea. And that is always harmonious. So you get a great sense of who is the maker of anything. Who is the maker, the creator of anything? That which he creates. You have again the question of creates. Is good, therefore it's not evil. Therefore it's not sinful. And he makes all that is made. Can you see how she covers right at the beginning the basis? It says, if you ask me, is there no sin? And I have to answer either with yes or no. Then I have to also say, why do I say yes or no? I must go back and say, is evil created by God or is not evil not created by God? He says, yes, there is only God that created all and made all. And that allness, he says, is naturally only good. So you right away get the impossibility that sin or evil is created by God. Therefore, can you see, therefore, the only reality of sin, sickness and death, is the awful fact that unrealities seem real to human erring belief until God strips off their disguise. Here you get now the answer. Is sin a reality or not? Is sin a reality? Is sin created by God? God only creates ideas. He not only creates ideas, he creates all, therefore all in idea, and therefore these are good. Therefore, if sin is the question, you must answer, well then, sin is not actually a creation of mind or of God, then it must be a seeming creation. And therefore the main point here is the seeming. You get now, for the first time, to the answer, what is sin? Is there no sin? See, the very first point is, sin apparently is only something that seems to be real, that seems to be. And you get the seeming to be real, and it only seems to be real not to that divine mind, but to the opposite, to human erring belief, until God strips off their disguise. Can you see? Again, you have the answer that sin is a disguise. It's a seeming, a disguised concept. They are not true because they are not of God. Again, you see, they have no cause in God. They do not come from God. God has not made them. Can you hear? It's constantly asking about, is there a creator that has created sin? If there is a creator that created sin, then it must be real. Then the answer must be yes. Is there no sin? You must say, yes, there is sin. But if you don't find a creator of sin, then you could already at the beginning say, then actually there is no sin. What is it then? It's a seeming, it's something in disguise. He goes on, we learn in Christian Science that all inharmony, which is sin, of mortal mind, that all inharmony of mortal mind or body is illusion. Now, you have again a definition of sin, that it is an illusion, possessing neither reality nor identity, though seeming to be real and identical. And again, you have the seeming. So can you see, in that short passage, she defines really sin. She defines, is there no sin? It says, it cannot come from mind. Mind has not created it. God has not created it. Therefore, it cannot exist. It has no reality. It cannot exist. Therefore, how can we explain it that we feel to the human erring sense that there is sin? We speak about sin, so we have a feeling that there is sin. Therefore, we somehow seem to make a reality of it. Now, what is sin? And gives the answer four times as a counterfeit of mind, namely that it is seems only to be real, that it is not of God, and therefore it is just a disguise, therefore it is an illusion, and that it seems to be real. You have more or less four or five answers, all in the same tonality. So one gets here really a good picture because, you see, she gives a reason, really saying, because God is mind and the creator of ideas, illusions cannot exist, therefore what are they? They are illusions. They are seeming, not being. You have a great answer that it is illusive. Yes? Do you see how you have to reason out the whole paragraph? See, if we start out just with the first sentence, all realities in God and His creation are harmonious and eternal, we are, so to say, asking ourselves, if we only take that, why does she say that? She doesn't say anything about sin. But she must prepare the ground. To prepare the ground in order to be able to say yes or not. Because if she had said right away, would have said, no, sin is only an illusion. She would have made the statement without proving it. So we say, we do that perhaps when somebody asks us and says, now, is there no sin? And we say, oh no, you know, sin is only an illusion. Oh yes, it's only an illusion. But it doesn't satisfy the reasoning. It's just throwing an answer at the student or at the inquirer without explaining why. But she always explains the why first.